Opinionated Marketers,
a podcast from Cambridge Marketing College.
Welcome to Opinionated Marketers with Charles Nixon and me, Kieran Kapoor. What's caught our eye is quite an upbeat article on the BBC website, and it's called Retail Survivors, the London Shops That Have Been Trading for Centuries. And it covers a variety of shops, from a hat shop to a florist, who have been around for many, many years. The hat shop was in fact founded in 1676, when the Royal House of Stuart was still on the throne of England and Scotland. And it's a lovely article on how companies have just kept going, despite all the issues that they've met on the way. Charles, you were quite taken with this.
I was. It's a very interesting, and I quite agree, upbeat. It shows the benefit of long-term thinking and not pursuing constant short-term goals, or indeed what sometimes has been termed the instant coffee approach to management, and indeed marketing. Short-termism has ruined many, many companies over the last few decades. And this article is a very nice counterpoint, which shows that long-term, building on your relationships with your customers, which we've always talked about, really does prove to be the best in the long term. The problem for a lot of organizations and people who work with organizations is that they don't think past their own generation. And most people who start organizations such as John Lewis don't think past their own generation until they get to a certain age. And then you start to think about the longevity and what it is you're going to pass on. And Locks is a particularly interesting example, and so is Paxton and Whitfield. They are specialists in their area. They have not moved to exploit their brand into other areas, though Paxton and Whitfield probably is beginning to sort of put its toe in the water there of crockery and cutlery and stuff like that that goes with cheese, but he's still essentially an expert cheese supplier. Locks is an expert hatter. I have to say I'm a customer of both and like them both, but I don't go there on a massive basis. They haven't tried to gain me, to sell me everything that I could possibly want in the lines of clothing or in the lines of food. They're happy to stick with their ability to be the specialist and a very good specialist in those markets, which will therefore only require my custom every few months or years. And they therefore have to have a large number of customers who come back on an irregular basis rather than a smaller number of customers who come back on a frequent basis. And from a marketing perspective, that's an entirely different approach. And I think it's one that many marketers could learn from. I think it's the element of building relationships and maintaining them, not always on the basis of trying to sell something.
There's a flower company here, Moisey Stevens, which you said was actually name-checked in the BBC TV series The Good Life. Was that back in the 1970s?
It was indeed, yes. Yeah, and therefore, it's interesting that it should be done so, and a good number of people who watch that will still remember the name and may well have bought occasionally from it, yeah.
And what the article says is that, obviously, a big part of their business was weddings and the social season. But because lockdown took place just around Mother's Day time, they would normally have about 100 orders to fill. And that day they had nearly 300. And then they found that instead of sending flowers for special occasions, people started to do sort of more normal things, just things that times that you would have been with somebody, you sent, "We're thinking of you" flowers. And it's very, very upbeat with the way how the company has just ridden the lockdown, but points out that with such a heritage behind her, they're sort of used to the idea that they've been around since 1876, so they've seen a good few upheavals in their time. And I think that probably does give you a completely different business perspective to something like a lockdown, where you smaller companies might have panicked. These sort of more heritage brands have been able to slightly sit back and go, "No, it's okay, we can ride this out." But they've obviously had to adapt quite quickly to what was happening. I don't suppose you go from expecting 100 orders to 300 orders in a day without a fair bit of staffing up and panic.
No, but that is also an interesting element, because the companies in most instances will be very supportive of their what we would call internal stakeholders, their staff. And so when there's very little to do, they'll still support them. They won't lay them off necessarily, and they won't necessarily exploit them in other ways. But they will ask them to work harder when the demand comes. And they'll be happy to do so because they feel part of the company. It's what John Lewis staff have always, you know, been said to do, because, you know, they are part of it. They're partners in that instance. And commitment from your staff is a very important part of marketing and the brand internally as well as it is externally. So, yes, Moisey Stevens, and indeed, I think the other two that are denoted in here have probably got a stronger financial backdrop, as it were, on a relative basis, because they don't constantly look to invest everything that they have earned. They look to build up a reserve and maintain that reserve because, as you say, they've seen some of this before. You know, they've seen world wars, they've seen national strikes, they've seen other elements where, you know, there is discontinuity, as we would call it, and you need to be just a bit prepared for the unexpected. And it's a conversation I've recalled having several times at the college with various people about, you know, why sit on cash reserves? You just might need them.
Oh, yes. Yes. Cash reserves can sometimes just be the able to sleep at night fund.
Absolutely.
It's that, yes, not panicking about, oh, gosh, can I pay the bills? Can I pay the staff? Can I pay my suppliers? There's a huge element. And I think I think it's easy for entrepreneurs to be told not to do that, to keep using every element of the cash. But actually, entrepreneurs do need to be able to sleep at night. You know, if I'm waking up at night, I want to be thinking about the new strategy, not worrying about whether I'm going to pay the bills.
Yes, yes. And the constant idiom of sort of the last sort of growth spurt of the sort of the early 2000s of sweat your assets may well have been true to some degree, but it isn't true all the time and probably for all the assets, because people will individually burn out. Cash can get used up, and cash is undoubtedly king, as we all know. So I think these companies take a what one might call a moderate approach to opportunity and have survived as a result. You might say, well, it's not the biggest hat company in the world. It's not the largest cheese company in the world or the largest flour company in the world. No, it may not be, but it is an organization that has been going on for a very long period of time and will probably continue to do so. Interestingly enough, there's another company in here which we actually haven't mentioned, which is a clothing company, and they've been described as the birthplace of the modern black tie, because they've become back in fashion again.
Yes, Henry Poole and Co. Actually, they're the one of all of them that say it's difficult, and there's a reference to the fact that you have to be hands on to fit a Savile Row suit. You can't do that over Zoom, and I thought that was quite interesting, and that they're the ones that actually say it's been complete shutdown of all markets. Even in war times, we had patrons that came over from Americas, but this time they really have struggled, but they seem to be looking forward to a sort of roaring 20s. So again, there's a sense of resilience of yes, this is tough, but they're clearly looking forward to the next bit. Yeah,
And the ability to look forward and to survive until that happens is part of the success of these type of long-term rather than short-term business models.
That's great. Lovely to chat again, Charles. And we've been quite upbeat this week, which is, I think good. We'll put a link to the article, which was on the BBC website, into the podcast.
Thank you very much indeed, Kieran.
Like and subscribe to this feed for more podcast content.
From Cambridge Marketing College.